الحمد للإله سابغ النعم وخالق الإنسان من بعد العدم، فالحمد ثم الحمد ثم الحمد لك حمدا كثيرا طيبا يا رب لك. أعطيتنا خيرا كثيرا ربنا، سترت عن كل الورى عيوبنا، ثم الصلاة بعد والتسليم على النبي المصطفى الكريم.
We are standing in the ancient land of Bukhara, the ancient city of Bukhara, one of the most exotic cities we've all heard about. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us all to come to this land. Alhamdulillah, I'm coming with our group from Sacred Journey, and I wanted to show you a little bit about the city. First and foremost, Bukhara, of course, it is one of the ancient cities that became famous for being on the Silk Road, the famous Silk Road that went from China all the way to the Byzantine Empire. It was one of the most important super highways of information, of passing material goods, of course, of silk, but not just of silk, of spices, of trade. And of course, because it was a Silk Road, it was an actual road. By the way, there wasn't just one road, there were multiple roads here. But the point is that there was this road that people would take from one side of the world to the other, and that facilitated the passing not just of material goods, but of knowledge and of interactions of civilizations. Marco Polo went on the Silk Road. Ibn Battuta took the Silk Road as he traveled from east to west. So Bukhara was one of the main supermarkets, if you like, on the Silk Road, one of the main bazaars where people from across the world would come and they would sell their goods over here, of course, as they're going through this beautiful land of Bukhara. And Bukhara, of course, was conquered, as you know, in the early Islam, during the time of the early Umayyad time frame. Of course, the Sahaba themselves, they conquered parts of this land, the late Sahaba time frame, and it was made a part of the Muslim rule around 700 or so CE. And the Muslims began giving da'wah to the people. The local people here were of various backgrounds. They were Buddhists, and they were also what are called shamanists as well. And we are now actually standing at one of the oldest, in fact, the oldest standing structure in Bukhara. It was built over 1,200 years ago, but that's the physical structure. Before the building, this was the original moon temple where they would worship a moon god. The ancient shamanists, they had their moon god here. They had a temple over here. When the people converted to Islam, they then converted this into a masjid. And when the Soviets came, they destroyed the masjid part of it, but they kept it as a museum. So it is now a museum. So this is the oldest structure that is still standing in the city of Bukhara. It is the site of the first masjid ever built. In other words, we can safely say that Imam al-Bukhari and some of the greatest scholars, they prayed in this masjid. Not, of course, the architecture, not the bricks here, but the location, this facility. And in fact, we will see this masjid is located below the city level, because obviously city levels rise. So if you can see over there, we are actually underneath the city line. The city line is above us. So what we're going to do now, inshallah ta'ala, is we're going to take a quick tour. We're going to zoom through the city, go through the ancient markets with the exact places where, you know, silk and spices and all of the goods would be sold. Still, the market is active. Still, you can buy Bukhara rugs. Still, you can buy, you know, saffron and the spices that come. And we're going to zoom through the marketplace until we get to the city square, and we'll tell you some very interesting things about that. So come with me, inshallah. So we are standing in front of the Kailan minaret and the Kailan mosque. Mashallah, we have some of the locals here as well. Mashallah, interesting, beautiful. So let's walk this way. So then I want to show you a little bit about what we're going to be talking about. So this is the Kailan minaret. The minaret here, the minara over here, when the Muslims first conquered it, one of the earliest dynasties here, they built a minaret around 900 CE. So that's like 1,200 years ago. However, that was made out of wood. And obviously, over the course of the next few centuries, it was, you know, destroyed, it was burnt down. And so finally, around 1,100 or 1,200 CE, basically 1,200 years ago, this minaret was constructed. So this is the original minaret that has been standing in Bukhara. It is the landmark of Bukhara for over 1,200 years. And I find it very, very beautiful that look at what was written over here. If you can go up to the calligraphy. So the top is Subhanallah, bihamdi Subhanallah al-Azim throughout the whole thing. And then the ayah says, وَإِنْ يُدِرْكَ بِخَيْرٍ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَا إِلَّا هُوَ وَيُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ. That if Allah Azza wa Jal wishes for you or some type of harm, then no one can lift that harm except Him. And if Allah wishes for you any good, then no one can reject that good. No one can prevent that good from coming to you other than Him. So this minaret is the original minaret for 1,200 years. It is the hallmark of Bukhara. Before this, there was another minaret. So basically, Bukhara has always had one of the most impressive minarets of Central Asia. And what is really interesting, and this fact blew my mind away. Many of you know Genghis Khan and the Mongol invasion. What most of us don't know is that Genghis Khan himself personally entered this land of Samarkand, of Bukhara. He entered this very site of Bukhara and he walked to this very monument. This monument or this pillar predates Genghis Khan. Legend has it that as he looked up, his turban fell off and it fell to the floor. And he didn't even pick it up in awe. He was just looking and looking and looking. And then when he picked it up, he actually bowed down to show venerance. Because obviously he was a pagan. He was a non-Muslim. And so he bowed down to show venerance to this massive icon, the likes of which somebody like Genghis Khan had never seen in his whole life. And then Genghis Khan marched into the largest masjid of Bukhara, which is this complex. However, the complex, of course, was built after him. Now, again, to reiterate, this minaret is the actual minaret that Genghis Khan saw. This minaret predates this mosque complex. The mosque that we're going to enter in was one of the earliest masjids ever built in Bukhara. Not the earliest, I showed you the earliest. This is one of the earliest. It was built in the time of the early Umayyads. It's one of the first masjids. The physical structure that is standing here dates back to around 1500. So the physical structure is 600 years old. So the location is the same, but what we're going to see is around 600 years old. Genghis Khan saw this minaret and was very impressed. He then walked into the older masjid in the same location with his shoes on intentionally. He knew you were supposed to take your shoes off. He walked in, he trampled on, he sat on the mihrab in this very complex. Of course, not the same one, but the location is the same. And he then berated the Muslims. And it's a long story. The Muslim ruler of this region had killed the envoys of Genghis Khan and had taken their wealth for himself. And that's the beginning of Genghis Khan's conquest. That's the beginning of Genghis Khan leaving Mongolia and conquering half the world. It was because the Muslims of this land, the ruler, did something that was wrong. He trampled on the rights of Genghis Khan. The envoys, the ambassadors that came, he massacred them, and he took the wealth of Genghis Khan that went as a trade. It was supposed to be a trading, and the ruler became greedy and said, who are these Mongolians, whatever, I'll just take their wealth. Genghis Khan became so enraged. That was when this was the first land he attacked, and he entered into the city of Bukhara. He massacred hundreds of thousands of people. He entered the masjid, and this is, according to legend, this is what he said. He sat on the minbar, and he said, that this is literally what is written in the books of history. I am your God's punishment to you because you failed to live up to your religion. This is what Genghis Khan himself said. You didn't act faithfully according to your tradition, and so your God sent me as a punishment against you. And he showed no mercy to the inhabitants, even though he was impressed by the architecture. So he allowed this to stand, but he massacred hundreds of thousands of people and he destroyed the masjid complex, which was then, of course, rebuilt after him and rebuilt after him until finally 600 years ago, one of the dynasties came and they built in the same location this massive complex. And I'm going to show you, it's really a beautiful, beautiful masjid. Opposite the masjid, this is the Mir Arab Madrasa.
This is the madrasa that has been teaching ulama for over 700 years. And in fact, this was the only madrasa that the Soviets, when they conquered this land and they invaded it in 1920, the Bolshevik Revolution, if you know, and they overtook it, they imposed their communism, they shut down all the mosques, they shut down all the madrasas except this madrasa. So this is the only madrasa that still had a little bit of Islam and Quran being taught even during the repressive Soviet regime. And it is the Mir Arab Masjid. Yesterday, we visited and I entered the complex. Alhamdulillah, I met with some of the students and I met with some of the teachers. The teacher I met with, in fact, he had graduated from Al-Azhar University. And it's only the local Uzbeks who are studying here and teaching here. So some of their teachers have studied from abroad. I was told that there are a number of people as well who have graduated from my alma mater, University of Medina. They're also in the city. I'm trying to meet them. Let's see if I can meet them today. But I want to show you the actual masjid. Before we get there, sorry. Okay, let me show you one thing. Go all the way to the top there. Again, I love which ayat are chosen, right? So it says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Shahid Allahu annahu la ilaha illa huwa wal malaikatu wa ulul ilmi qa'iman bil qist. Allah has testified, and the angels testify, and the people of knowledge testify that la ilaha illallah. So they mention the people of knowledge. So this is the ayah in the Quran, Surah Ali Imran, that Allah praises the people of knowledge. Ibn al-Qayyim says, this ayah is the best blessing, the biggest blessing that the Quran has given to the people of knowledge, because he put the people of knowledge in the same sentence as Allah and the angels and the people of knowledge. So they put this ayah when they enter the madrasa to show you the status of the people of knowledge. So now this is the madrasa. Now we're going to enter the masjid. And of course the primary verse is a very common verse when you enter the masajid, that and al masajid lillahi fala tad'u allahi ahada. Masjids belong to Allah, so nobody should be made dua to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this masjid was built in 1514. It is called the Masjid of Kailan or Kailan. It is called, and it is under the protection, of course, of UNESCO World Heritage Site. And just take a look at how beautiful this masjid is. It is one of the largest masjids in all of Central Asia. It was supposed to accommodate everybody for Eid and Jumu'ah. The whole city would be able to come here for Eid and for Jumu'ah. Over 12,000 people could come and pray in one time in this masjid. Now I want to show you one very interesting fact about this complex. Of course, as in all old masajid, you see the wudu area, right? In every single masjid of ancient times, the wudu area was right dab in the center, in the middle of the complex like this. And you would have, if you needed to do wudu, you could just go there and do your wudu over there. This masjid is one of the largest, as we said, in all of Central Asia. It is, of course, the largest in Bukhara itself. And this masjid has been functioning on this site since the 700s. It was built, of course, after the Atori Magan, Atori Masjid that I showed you before. It's the second or third masjid built, but it is still essentially a masjid that definitely people like Imam al-Bukhari and others, they would have prayed in. Again, in this locality, obviously the physical building, this is only 600 years old, but of course this location has been there for the longest time, since the beginning of Islam. Now, I want to show you just one thing. Let's see if we can come over here. Where's the best place to take this video? I'm here with my erstwhile assistant who wishes to remain anonymous, but we will call him Abu Zubair for the time being, inshallah ta'ala. When he wishes to reveal himself, his kashf will be done, inshallah ta'ala. So, I guess let's get in the shade so that I can speak more clearly, inshallah. Where should we? Actually, let's get in the shade. I wanted to show you. Now, what is the problem of this large area? Think about it. Once upon a time, you would have 12,000 people. Imagine Salat al-Tarawih, imagine Jumu'ah Khutbah, imagine, you know, any large gathering. You have 12,000 people praying here. What's the problem? Obviously, the problem is that you cannot hear the Imam, right? You cannot hear the Imam. These ulama and scientists of the time, subhanAllah, the mind boggles how they figured out, how they knew this, what they did. I have no understanding or clue of how they were able to design an acoustical site such as this one. Now, I don't think you can hear, but as I'm speaking, maybe you can hear the amplification coming back. What we discovered with our guide yesterday, and we tested this out, is that the mihrab over there, the mihrab where the imam would be reciting, is engineered such that the voice is going to be projected upwards into the dome, and the dome will then amplify it, send it back down, and then is going to go left and right across these chambers. And in each of these chambers, it's going to go through the dome, up and down again, echoing all the way through this chamber, and then all the way down to the end, and then all the way down to the corridors, such that whatever the imam says over here in a reasonably loud voice, the domes, and then check this out, underneath the domes, right underneath them, were placed large vats, large empty chambers that were also supposed to echo back up into this area. So we have over here these acoustical domes, and whenever, whatever the imam would be saying from the mihrab, you would then get it amplified throughout the entire area, such that it would reach the courtyard itself. Now yesterday, I tested it out. Our guide said to us that when the Soviets came, obviously they shut the mosque down and they used it for storage facility. Can you believe they used this for fertilizer, astaghfirullah. For 89 years, there was no salah being prayed over here. In the Soviet era, there was repression, of course. Muslims were not allowed to practice their faith. When the Soviets came, they converted this area into a chamber where they would keep their fertilizer, and what they did was they took up these big vats and they used them and they destroyed them on the right hand side. For some reason, they left the vats of the left hand side. So yesterday, I went to the mihrab and I recited Quran, and we had people standing at the very end, the far corner of the left hand side, and they said that they could hear very lightly, not in a loud voice, because obviously the acoustics has been damaged, it's not the original structure, but still they could hear me recite, even though I was reciting like I'm talking to you, in a regular voice. I wasn't screaming, I was speaking in a regular voice, and on the other side of the complex they could hear. So in those time frames, during Jumu'ah, everybody would be absolutely quiet, and the Shaykh or the Khatib, his voice would be heard and amplified to 12,000 people simply because of the acoustics of how they created this. Now I want you to see the dome and the mihrab. And let's see if you can hear a little bit of the echo. I don't know if the iPhone is going to catch this echo, but let's see if we can hear a little bit of the echo. So this echo is supposed to reverberate throughout the entire masjid. So whoever is standing over here and saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. I don't know if you can hear, but even I from this can hear the reverberation coming back. From the facilities here. So again, mashallah, just look here. Oh, this is a beautiful shot over here. Just look over here, mashallah, the beauty of the masjid, 600 years old, how much knowledge they had, the acoustical engineering and technology, the turquoise beauty. This is absolutely stupendous and overwhelming. We will be leaving the city of Bukhara today, but we're heading out to another exotic destination, that is Samarkand tomorrow. Inshallah ta'ala, I'll upload another video about Samarkand. I pray that this is a benefit to you, inshallah ta'ala. And until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا
إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق والقرآن كم يهتدي الحيران فيه والنفس كم حنت إليه يعلو ولا يعلى عليه هيا نرتل هائه ونعيش تحت ظلاله ننسى الهموم بقربه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق والقرآن أسعد به قلوبنا واغفر به ذنوبنا واشرح به صدورنا يا ربنا أذهب به أحزاننا فرج به همومنا واجعله شاهدا لنا يا ربنا والقرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق موعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور
صلى عليك الله يا خير الورى تعداد حبات الرمال وأكثرا صلى عليك الله ما غيث هما فوق السهول وبالجبال وبالقرى فوق السهول وبالجبال وبالقرى